Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you St. Gabriel's Trumpet, a Catholic news weekly produced by AM 820 to keep you informed and up-to-date about what's happening in our listening area. And now, St. Gabriel's Trumpet with host Chip Stalter.
Good afternoon on this feast day of St. Scholastica. She was born around 480, died on February 10th of 542 AD. She was the sister of St. Benedict and founded an abbey not far from his at Monte Cassino. We think you're going to enjoy today's episode of St. Gabriel's Trumpet. We have two reports from campus today. St. Michael's Parish is in the spotlight, and an interview with Marcus Grodi of the Coming Home Network. All this and more on St. Gabriel's Trumpet. First, we're going to start off with, appropriately enough, an Olympic story. This year, women who attend the Columbus Catholic Women's Conference on Saturday, February 22nd, will be inspired to hear the beautiful story of Olympic cross-country skier Rebecca Dussault. She's traveling around the country sharing her wonderful experiences of faith, family, and the pursuit of excellence in athletics. St. Gabriel's Trumpet correspondent Carrie Migalski talks with Rebecca about why she feels it's important to share the message of bringing the balance of mind, body, and spirit into the lives of Catholic women.
As a 2006 Winter Olympian, wife, mother, and cradle Catholic, what would you like to share with our listeners?
First off, thanks for having me, Carrie. It's such a pleasure, and I've looked forward to this for a long time. I can't believe it's almost here. And I had been invited a while back, and I kept denying it, thinking that I would not be able to take the invitation because I would be at the Olympic ski racing again, but the Lord had a different design in mind. So as you said, I'm a cradle Catholic. I've been born and raised in Colorado. I'm the fourth generation Colorado. This has been a great place to both experience endurance sport and a place to be Catholic as well. I certainly mesh those two things together as best I can. Try to have them, my Catholicity feed my athleticism and vice versa. I'm also a mother. I have four children and we homeschool. So it's a lot to balance. Every day is a juggling act, but we try to do it all for the glory of God. And since the time of the Olympics, I've been asked to speak around the nation. I've addressed so many wonderful groups. I really have a heart, especially for teenagers, because they latch onto my story. Because so much of the struggle of my story and my time of kind of the climactic experience of all my athletics was the Olympics. And so I have a lot to share. And now as a more mature person, as a wife and mother and athlete, I have a different perspective too. So I'm excited to share that with the women of the Columbus area.
So why do you feel it's important to talk to the Catholic women about prioritizing their lives? And what kind of strategies can you give us that would be important for us to bring that sense of balance into our lives?
Yeah, I just feel like, you know, however Catholic we think we are, at the end of the day, are we really living out a Catholic culture? I feel like so many of us still in our homes have the world tell us jump and we say how high. Mm-hmm. And whether that's following, you know, our children around as a sports mom and carrying, you know, toting them around in the minivan and going to practice here and practice there and games here and games there. And pretty soon you're traversing your state, you're missing Mass, and your family is feeling very compromised. And so mine is a call back to our priorities. I think when we have our priorities straight, and I'm talking on so many levels, our personal priorities, our family priorities, our community priorities, then we start to function with a wholeness of health. And so my strategies are, it's kind of like lube, oil, and filter. These are things that have to be routinely done, routinely checked. You cannot just go burning out and not come back to basics. If we're just running around ragged, which most of us are, then we see the fruit of that. So my call is back to prioritization, to health and holiness, really as a goal for us individually and us as families. And then, as you know, if the family is whole and healthy, we can revive this culture, which is dead in so many respects.
How can somebody hear more about you, your story, and get some more information?
Absolutely. Certainly come see me at the talk in Columbus. I think we're hoping for a record attendance of women. It's going to be incredible. Also, I've just launched a new fitness ministry, and it's for health and holiness, fitness in both those areas. The website is www.massstartme.com, of course. It's a mass start in that life is a mass start. We all start out together. We have a launching point, a starting line. And certainly the start of the Mass, which is the high point of our Christian life and our walk with God, is the Mass, and most especially the Eucharist. And I also have a book coming out, which I'm so thrilled about. It's a biography, and I'll be debuting it at the Catholic Conference in Columbus, where I'm at with things, and I'm just excited to meet so many people February 22nd at the conference.
Oh, well, congratulations on your book, and thank you so much for all the work that you're doing.
Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. And for St. Gabriel's Trumpet, this is Carrie Migalski.
To register for the Women's Conference, visit ColumbusCatholicWomen.com. The Buckeye Awakening Retreat is a nationally known weekend retreat program that has been transforming the lives of Catholic college students across the country. The Buckeye Awakening Retreats are held at St. Peter and Paul Retreat Center in Newark. The next Awakening Retreat will be February 28th through March 2nd. For more information, you can contact Austin Schaefer at the St. Thomas More Newman Center at OSU. Our Carrie Migalski talks with OSU student Melissa Brooks as she discusses her experience with Buckeye Awakening and how it's impacted her life as both a participant and a leader.
I'm here with Melissa Brooks, a junior at OSU, who's been a leader and a participant for the Buckeye Awakening Retreat at the St. Thomas More Newman Center at OSU. Welcome, Melissa.
Good to be here.
Yeah. So you've been in this a leadership role and a participant with the Buckeye Awakening Retreat. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
I went on Buckeye Awakening when I was a freshman. So I was Buckeye Awakening 6 about 2 years ago. And I've staffed everyone since, and I now have a leadership role, and so I have to help plan it and lead it. And it's been a great experience. I've met so many amazing people through it, and it's just completely changed my life, changed my faith life, and just helps me to grow closer to God and really instilled that relationship with me.
In what way has it impacted your life being a student on the OSU campus?
It's introduced me to a lot of really amazing people. And so many people have inspired me in my faith life because they are so strong in their faith. And so I've learned a lot about it through them. I think another big way that it impacted me is my prayer life as well. Just the importance of kind of quality over quantity and, you know, really focusing on what you're saying.
Why should somebody that's maybe a college student, why should they join a retreat like this?
Well, I think one of the most beautiful things about this retreat is that God will always meet the retreaters exactly where they're at in their life. So whether they're questioning the faith, whether they've been cradle Catholic their whole life, whether they're discerning the religious life, or they're not even religious at all, they can truly get something out of this retreat, and there's something for everyone. There's something that will touch everyone's life. And I know it's difficult for college students, I think, to give up a weekend, but this is definitely worth it. I've seen it change so many lives and just affect so many people.
So it's open to other students besides OSU students, is that correct?
Anyone can attend a Buckeye Awakening from any school.
So what would a student that's participating, what can they expect over this experience?
There are, the majority of it is there are a lot of speakers that will give talks, introduce some things, some topics. Friday night, they actually have the opportunity to receive the Sacrament of Reconciliation. And then Saturday night, they will also have the opportunity to go to Adoration, two really, really powerful things that really affect the retreaters. The talks are really awesome because it's something that... It's one of your peers that's giving it. And so when you see somebody up there giving a talk and you see the way that the Holy Spirit's just truly working through them, it's amazing. And I actually gave a talk on the last retreat. And so I can kind of attest to that feeling of just not feeling like it's even you speaking, like the words that you're saying truly come from God. It's an amazing experience.
So what kind of information can you share when the retreat's going to be held and where it's going to be held and how somebody can get more information?
So the retreat weekend is February 28th to March 2nd, and it's at St. Peter and Paul Retreat Center in Newark, Ohio. So you'll arrive at St. Thomas More Newman Center at Ohio State on Friday evening, and then they'll bus everybody out there. If you want more information, you can go to buckeyecatholic.com/students.
Well, Melissa, thank you so much. Thank you for stepping out in faith and being a true leader in our community, especially as an OSU student. I think it's really encouraging to see the youth like you and the young adults like you that are really living their faith, especially on a campus that could seem so large, whereas Catholic community kind of brings it down and makes it a small family.
Right. Yeah, well, thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And for St. Gabriel's Trumpet, this is Carrie Migalski.
You're listening to St. Gabriel's Trumpet. I'm your host, Chip Stalter. Last week, Kevin Lowry spoke with a hermit from Maine in his conversation segment. This week he stays a little closer to home, talking to the founder of the Coming Home Network and, incidentally, Kevin's boss, Marcus Grodi.
This is Kevin Lowry from St. Gabriel's Trumpet. Today I'm speaking with Marcus Grodi, the president and founder of the Coming Home Network International. Marcus, welcome.
Thank you, Kevin. Good to join you.
Many people know you as the host of the Journey Home program on EWTN, but they may not know that the program is produced and shot locally here in the Diocese of Columbus. They may also not know that the Coming Home Network International Apostolate is located here. How exactly did that happen?
Well, in fact, the Journey Home program came out of the Coming Home Network in the sense that the reason Mother Angelica invited me to do the program was because I was on her program sharing about the work of the Coming Home Network. And we began back in 1993 in the response to non-Catholic clergy and laity who were interested in learning more about the Catholic faith, were being drawn to the church. But because of what conversion would mean for a clergyman and his family, they had lots of questions that often they had a hard time receiving answers.
Sure.
So that's why the Coming Home Network was established, just to be beside men and women on the journey to help them learn more about the Catholic Church.
Right. Now, why did you start the Coming Home Network? I mean, tell us a little bit more about the history of the organization. And what has it meant to you personally over the past 20 years since you founded it?
My wife, Marilyn, and I are both converts to the church. We were both lifelong Protestants, and I was an ordained pastor. When we discovered the church and were drawn to come home to the church, we both recognized in our own lives the drastic changes that would be required, both for my vocation and occupation, as well as our relationships. That was personal, and we then discovered that this was happening to many others. So the reason for the Coming Home Network was to form a network of support, not just locally, but we work with men and women around the world who contact us, who are interested in finding out more about the church, but also discovering how they could use their gifts once they come home to the church.
Sure. And see, of course, I can tune into this personally since my dad, like you, was a Presbyterian minister, and I saw this vicariously a little bit. And then I think we were introduced back in very early in the process through Father Ray Ryland.
Yeah, you were, in fact, were involved with helping us get started on the economic side, setting us up as a nonprofit.
Oh, right.
But also you've been working with us now for many years yourself, so you've been working with the men and women, helping them with some of the issues that they encounter on the journey.
Sure, and that's one reason that I was very grateful that I could talk to you today, because it was a very short trip from my office to yours to get there.
Across the hall.
Let me ask another question. In terms of the past 20 years, what lessons have you learned along the way, and how has the experience changed you?
I think the biggest impact that I have received from my work in the Coming Home Network is actually an appreciation for the very transition that the church herself has gone through in the last 60, 70, 80 years. That was expressed in the council, as well as the bishops and cardinals involved with the council, as it's flowed down through the council to the catechisms, to the bishops, to the priests and the laity. And it's taken 50, 60 years for many of us to fully appreciate that the Holy Spirit was helping us grow in love and humility as a church, and particularly to appreciate the brotherhood and sisterhood that we share with other non-Catholic Christians through the baptisms that we share together, recognizing that through baptism we are united in a very important way with all Christians. That doesn't mean that it doesn't matter about where they are. No, it helps us reach out in love to non-Catholic Christians in a very beckoning way, inviting them to come home to discover the fullness of the church. And I also learned in these last 20 years, in a deeper way, how love is really the most important thing that we do in evangelization. It's not looking down or talking down to people. It's standing beside them and helping them discover often a gift they already have, new life in Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. helping them appreciate that. And then in the process, helping them discover the church that Christ established in his apostles.
Right. This is Kevin Lowry for St. Gabriel's Trumpet, and today I'm speaking with Marcus Grodi, the president and founder of the Coming Home Network International. Marcus, one of the areas you and I have discussed many times is the importance of ongoing conversion. In what ways do you sense ongoing conversion really going on in your life right now?
Yeah, that's an interesting turn of phrase, ongoing conversion. We've used it for many years in our work. And we use the word ongoing conversion to counteract the idea that conversion is a one-time thing, that once you've experienced, you've somehow arrived. So we add the word ongoing to recognize that our walk with Jesus Christ should be, it begins with baptism, it is reaffirmed in confirmation, it's reaffirmed when we have an awakening to Jesus Christ, it's reaffirmed every time we reach out in love, every time we confess our sins, every time we receive the Lord in the Eucharist. That conversion goes on and on. Now, in that sense, if we truly understand that, then we probably need to then reclaim the word conversion for the beginning of this and recognize that when we talk about ongoing conversion, what we're really just talking about is when our Lord called us to abide in him, to continue him, to remain in him. Because at the end of our life, it doesn't matter if we accepted Jesus back when we were 5. If we find ourselves at age 90 face-to-face with Jesus and we didn't remain with him mm-hmm. to the very end in faith, it doesn't matter.
Right.
We're called to live and by grace grow in holiness. For want of a better word, we call that continuous conversion.
Right.
And that's what we're called to do every day for the rest of our life.
It's a great thought. Thank you, Marcus. We really appreciate your time and keep up the great work. Where can we find you and the organization online?
chnetwork.org is the main place. Or okay. I imagine if you just did a Google for the Coming Home Network, you'd find us.
Okay.
This is Kevin Lowry for St. Gabriel's Trumpet.
And now with event news for the area, here's Sue Stalter.
Last week, Chip, I gave you information on the Columbus Catholic Women's Conference, and I went to columbuscatholicwomen.com to register, and I'm really excited. This week, I'm going to give you a little bit more information about the Columbus Catholic Men's Conference. It's coming up March 1st, and it'll be from 8 a.m. to 2:45 at the Ohio Expo Center Voinovich Building. The cost is only $30. This year, they'll feature Damon Owens from the Theology of Body Institute, Father Bill Casey, and Hartley Hawks football coach Brad Birchfield. I've heard Father Bill Casey before, and he is amazing. For more information, you can go to www.columbuscatholicmen.com. Have you registered yet, Chip?
I sure have. Got anything else for us?
Sure do, Chip. Coming up Friday, February 21st at 7 p.m. at the St. John Newman Faith and Family Center, they will be featuring Father Thomas Blau, and he will be doing a talk called Look for God in All the Right Places. This talk is philosophical proofs of God based on human experience. Father Blau is the chaplain from the Ohio Dominican University. For more information on this event, go to stjohnsunbury.org. Back to you, Chip.
Ohio Dominican University is Central Ohio's only Catholic four-year private liberal arts and master's institution, founded in 1911 in the Dominican tradition. In 2013, Father Thomas Blau was announced as university chaplain. Father Blau brings a solid Catholic foundation, strong historical background, and decades of pastoral and academic experience to ODU. Since he has graced the campus grounds of ODU, the student body and staff has seen the growth in the campus ministry office, planning and participating in activities geared towards promoting the spiritual enrichment and personal development of all students, faculty, and staff. On behalf of St. Gabriel's Trumpet, correspondent Carrie Migalski would like to introduce you to our campus correspondent for ODU, Justin Iglesias. Justin will be bringing us stories each month highlighting faith on the ODU campus setting.
Justin, welcome to the studios. Thank you so much for being our campus correspondent for Ohio Dominican University. There's been a lot of great things happening at ODU this past year, and it's great to be able to hear how the faith is going to be lived on campus. How did you get so passionate about your faith? Where did it start?
Oh, gosh. Well, that's going back to high school in about 9th, 10th grade. I was homeschooled for most of my life. When I went to high school, I went to 9th grade for the first year of high school at public school and had no friends. And that was a very interesting experience for me. That was really pushed me out of my comfort zone. And met this girl who decided that, you know, even though she was the popular girl on campus, she decided to bring me in and invite me to youth group. Mm-hmm. And my start at youth group really brought me to my faith and brought me the realization that, you know, this Jesus guy that I had learned about my entire life, that I had been catechized about, had my first communion, had my confirmation, he was a real person. And not only was he a real person, but he desired to love me. And that realization totally changed everything. I actually went to a conference put on by another university around here, Franciscan University of Steubenville. At this conference, through the Eucharist and through Eucharistic adoration, I saw Jesus for the first time reach out and touch my heart in a way that words could not describe. And that really got me going.
What's amazing to me is you are how old?
I am 18.
Okay, you are 18, and you actually catechize, teach, and you do so many things with adults, with high schoolers. So you're able to talk to so many different levels of people in their spiritual development. How did you get to that point?
When people ask me that, I like to quote Mother Teresa. She said, I'm kind of like a pencil, and God controls that pencil, and he uses that pencil to write. I am simply that pencil, though. God is writing this beautiful poetry every single day. I am merely an instrument that really needs to be sharpened on a daily basis. There are many moments where I wish I had a sharper catechism, sharper this, sharper that. And the blessings of learning from someone like Father Blau, our campus minister at Ohio Dominican, the blessings of learning from the director of youth ministry, Mike Barone, at St. Joan of Arc, it's the different experiences that I've gotten to have to continue to sharpen that pencil is something that I think each one of us has inside of us. We are each called to be an instrument of the Holy Spirit, to be an instrument of God, to be an instrument of his love in this world.
Awesome. Okay, so where can somebody get some information about the great things going on with campus ministry?
Yeah, you can definitely go to ohiodominican.edu. If you look up our campus life page and go to spiritual life, we have all the different events that are going on campus there. Father Blau is always in the office, and hopefully in a few weeks we'll be able to sit down with him and give an interview and talk about all the great things that are going on campus in more depth. One of the really cool things that we have going on right now is on the first and third Wednesday of the month, we have a Bible study led by Father Blau. And if you think you've done Bible study before, you have to sit down and just listen to Father Blau talk for like 2.5 seconds, and your understanding of Bible study will fundamentally change. So definitely something I would suggest to anybody.
Well, we're listening to Justin Iglesias. He's our campus correspondent for Ohio Dominican University. And for St. Gabriel's Trumpet, this is Carrie Migalski.
Welcome to the team, Justin. You're listening to St. Gabriel's Trumpet, a Catholic news weekly on AM 820 St. Gabriel Radio. The 7th Annual Columbus Catholic Women's Conference is called Delight Yourself in the Lord, and it will be held on Saturday, February 22nd at the Ohio Expo Center in the Voinovich Building from 8 a.m. until 4 p.m. Last year, over 2,000 Catholic women gathered to pray, reflect, and be inspired. With a conference this big, there are many hands that have to work together to make it a success. One way of achieving this is to have a host parish coordinate the many opportunities for parishioners to volunteer in a way that will have an impact on women throughout the year. This year, St. Michael's Catholic Church in Worthington is the host parish, where the women at St. Michael's Parish have done a great job organizing the Columbus Catholic Women's Conference. Mary Olin is heading up this committee of volunteers, and St. Gabriel Trumpet's Carrie Migalski spoke to Mary about her experience organizing the volunteers for the conference and what it's like for St. Michael's to be the host parish.
Hi, Mary. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, thank you.
So St. Michael's has been the host parish for organizing the Columbus Catholic Women's Conference this year, mm-hmm. and you have been leading the volunteers and working on that organization. How has that been going for St. Michael's to be the host parish for this event?
I think it's been going very well. I've only been helping for the last 4 or 5 months. I'm working with someone else, Christine, and it seems that we've had most positions filled, and it hasn't been too difficult. It's been a lot of fun. We've had the opportunity to meet a lot of women and that we've pulled from the school and the parish.
Because it kind of bridges that gap between the school. St. Michael's has a school, mm-hmm. and it kind of gets the school family involved and the church family involved. So have you seen a lot of participation?
We've had a lot of participation, I think, both from the school and the parish, which has been really neat. Not all of our families at the school are from St. Michael's, mm-hmm. but they've been more than willing to help. So, yeah, we have.
And there's been some great response with going to these conferences. I know for women to actually take part and participate, it's such a renewing experience for a renewal of their spiritual life. And have you had a lot of good feedback?
We have. You know, some of the women have never been to the conference before, let alone volunteer. So their enthusiasm has been very encouraging. And then some women have been, you know, helping in different positions over the last few years. I would encourage, you know, every woman to consider joining the conference. You know, I'm a mom of five. I have a very busy schedule. Outside of this, I coach and do a number of other things. But I always like to take any time that I have to participate, even if it's just for part of the day. I listen to some of it on the radio. But I would encourage everyone to register and just be a part of the conference in whatever way they can. They'll be very encouraged by the speakers and the mass, just all of it.
Thank you so much for your work with volunteering these committees. And thank you to St. Michael's Church for organizing, being the host parish for the Columbus Catholic Women's Conference. For St. Gabriel's Trumpet, this is Carrie Migalski.
For more information or to register for the conference, go to columbuscatholicwomen.com. That's it for today's episode of St. Gabriel's Trumpet. We'll be back next Monday at noon with a brand new episode. If you have a story idea or event or something really crazy good going on at your parish that you want the world to know about, send us an email at info@stgabrielradio.com. For the St. Gabriel's Trumpet team, I'm Chip Stalter. Deus vobiscum.
St. Gabriel's Trumpet is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of St. Gabriel's Trumpet with Chip Stalter and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.